Liz and Weir Show.
I mean, is it left or is it right?
I'm independent.
Are you crazy or just plain stupid?
I'm independent.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It is Friday. Welcome to the show, all 11 of you. Going to kick off the Friday list in just a minute. Rod Babcock is back today, everybody.
Hello, sir.
Yay!
Feeling better?
Much better.
Yeah? I'm still recovering from all of the hurt over the head size jokes from the last show. Now, that's it's infiltrated Dana and Parks now, so that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm
great.
I'm happy about that. No, that's awesome.
It's so awesome. Big, it's overflowing into the next
would
show.
You stop?
It's almost eclipsing other portions of your life.
You know, it hurts me when Rebecca says insulting stuff because she's supposed to be the nice one.
No, that's not true.
No.
So,
no. All right, it's time.
Hold on, real quick.
What?
I don't want to just focus on previous things. However, in the previous show, I had the worst thing that happened to me yesterday.
Uh huh.
I was asking this. I saw it online and I went, "Oh my God, yes, it's true." You know how every now and then, like a something on you, like a belt or a loose jacket or something, will hook on a doorknob?
Yeah.
Your clothing or like the lanyard on your phone?
Yes.
Will get hooked on furniture?
Your earbuds?
The worst is headphones.
Yeah, yeah,
headphone
yeah.
cord.
Agreed.
Why does that never happen to someone who's in a good mood?
Well, because when it happens to someone who's always in a bad mood.
That's not true. It's always when you're like, this is the worst day. Oh, what was that?
Yeah. You know why? It's because when you're in a bad mood, you're just like, ah, and you're swinging around and you're not paying attention. When you're in a good mood, you're focused. You're thinking about things. You're like, I'm going to make sure my headphones don't get hooked on that drawer and cause me that weird pain. What is that?
I don't know.
I hate it.
It is one of the worst possible things that happens to somebody is have your headphones yanked out.
Anyway, it's not time to talk about that. It's time to talk about the Friday list. That's right.
Friday list.
It's Friday night.
Yeah! Friday list today is best song from 2010 until now. So best song within the last 9.5 to 10 years is what we're going for. Get your suggestions in on the text line right now, 22980. As always, Rebecca Crockett will be playing on behalf of the text line,
except for
her first pick. But every 100th text that we get from the text line will be Rebecca's pick. So get your picks in. If you get frustrated because we never have your picks on, then just text them in to 22980. And maybe they'll get played. We'll see. All right. So start off the list. I'm going to start off with, I think, the winner. I mean, I hate doing that. I hate phrasing it like that, but I'm pretty sure this song, which I like a lot, but I'm not saying it's my favorite song on here. I'm just thinking that this song is going to be so equally liked by all three of us that it's going to win. But we'll see. It's this song.
Oh, yeah.
Starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare. See how
she says ship
with every piece of you.
Sure, let's go with that.
She does.
Is bringing me out the dark. The scars of your love.
You cannot deny how damn good that woman sings.
I know. It's heavy into the chorus.
The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. I can't help feeling we could have had it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it's the winner. It's the winner. I shouldn't have played it at the beginning. I just ruined the list. There you go. I'm laying it down at the beginning. Adele's Rolling in the Deep from 2011.
That's your confidence. That's your winner.
That I don't even think it's overconfidence. I think that that is obviously the winner.
Now, when you say that, you know we're going to vote against it now.
It
would be tough to vote against. She's an amazing singer. I love to joke about Adele because her speaking voice, you know, she sings like that. And then she speaks like, you know, rock governor. I'll go pimple on my bum. Oh, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
So anyways, I just don't know. Because here's my first pick. Throwing it in the ring. And we've got 16 of these to go.
Yeah.
Well, 15 to go.
When we get 16, we'll vote on which one is the best.
All right. From 2015.
Used to spend my nights out.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Liquor was the only love I'd known. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom.
From 2015.
Yes. Chris Stapleton.
I think your pick is in trouble, Jonathan.
Yeah, you know
that's
what?
That's an old George Jones song.
Man, those two, there's no way they're going against each other.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I need to separate those two because I love that entire album. That Chris Stapleton,
really
Traveler.
Good.
He has another song on there called Fire Away, which is a great song, but probably the best video from the standpoint of like a story. It is, honestly, I've never watched a music video that made me break down in tears. That one does it. It is a just breathtakingly, just a hammer to the heart emotionally, that video from Fire Away.
He has a song that, actually, first time I heard it, I thought it was going to make me cry. Mm. It's called, Was It 26? And he says, you know, he's talking about crazy things he did. And he's like, back when I was 25, or was it 26? And it's a cool
song. It made you
song.
Cry because it's the same thing. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
He's in my 20s.
Sadly,
I hear a lot of stories
sadly
of
mine
that-
was... was it 18?
Almost all your stories 19? Are like, it was in my 20s or teens, somewhere between 14 and 25.
Maybe it was yesterday.
Yeah, maybe it was yesterday. All right, Rebecca Crockett playing for yourself this time,
okay,
right? Your first pick
one,
is yours.
It is my pick, but it is also, thankfully, from the text line.
Okay. Oh.
So loud.
Too loud.
Leave me hanging, come give me some. When I'm without you, I'm so insecure.
Okay, what's the band?
Yeah, I don't know who this band is.
This is Maroon 5.
Never heard of them.
Adam Levine is the lead singer. He's kind of hot. And the song is called Sugar.
All right, I'll admit.
We give you
a lot of crap for liking Maroon 5 on the show. We do. Okay, and now you can hear why.
Okay,
because this is
it,
terrible.
Ease it.
Turn
just
it
a
off.
Little back. Easy. There you go.
I need another stir stick.
That sounds so much better. No, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong.
Sugar!
That was pretty good.
Yeah, please.
Well, yeah. I mean, I sang it better than he did at the Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah. At the Super Bowl, I'll give you that.
He's not living that one down anytime soon, nor should he. That was the worst Super Bowl performance ever.
Agreed.
Maroon, it was so bad. I mean, I guess he gets all the blame for it, but the whole band was terrible. It wasn't just
at least
him.
He looked cute doing it.
Oh, my God. Until he took off his shirt and he had more tats than...
And they're bad.
Like, yeah, the show was ugly.
A bunch of
if you make that
tats.
Much money, shouldn't you get good tattoos? Here's the thing I learned early in life. Good tattoos aren't cheap, and cheap tattoos aren't good.
It's good. All right. I am going to go with another pick from earlier in the decade. Actually, this is early in the decade. I'll just play it. I'm debating it just because
You're a master at that.
Certain times where you can't play this song because it's inappropriate, and I was trying to gauge how long it has been, but I think it's fine. For this Friday, April 19th, best song from 2010 until now. So over the last 10 years, what is the best song? What needs to be on this list?
What do we got so far?
Text it in to the text line at 22980 so Rebecca can get it for her pick. So far on the list, we have Rolling in the Deep by Adele. Came out in 2011. We have Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton. Came out in 2015. Sugar by Maroon 5, 2014. Pumped Up Kicks also came out in 2011. That's only four. When we get to 16, though we'll probably go over that today as we tend to do with the song list. When we get 16, we'll vote on which one is the best. More picks coming up. Rod Babcock has pick number five, and he'll be doing that at 6:25. Here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Ah! Hate hearing that. Rob was telling me that Sunday is the third anniversary
of Prince's death.
And not only is it just also sad, obviously it's also Easter, but not only is it a sad occasion, but also it makes me feel incredibly old because I can't believe it's already been 3 years. It's 2016 he died?
Yeah, this 3 years has gone by pretty quick.
Yeah. I can't believe it was 2016.
The good news
because
is,
everybody was dying in 2016. I forgot.
And we're
that.
All getting closer to death. It's a good thing. Time's going faster.
Why do you gotta go there?
We're winning the death race.
What?
Woo!
We're not dying?
No, we are.
We've been dying since the day we were born.
I know. Some better than others. Rebecca kind of sucks at it.
I got cure liver.
I'm almost done here.
What is with the joy division happening here? Let's pull back on the emo a little bit. It's Friday.
Just giving you crap.
God. All right. We're doing our Friday list. It's a list of best songs from 2010 until now. So far, we have four. Rod Babcock, you have
What's
number
five. What's that
Pumped
Up Kicks band's name? What's the name
Foster
of the band?
Foster the People.
Foster the People. I could not remember the name of that band. Okay. This is my pick. It's from 2017. And honest to God, when I heard it at the time, it was my new favorite song. And I was really surprised when I found out who actually sang it.
She walked away through a cheap pack of cigarettes. Hard liquor mixed with a bit of intellect. And all the boys, they were saying they were into it. Such a pretty face on a pretty neck. She's driving me crazy. But I'm into it. But I'm into it. I'm kind of into it.
Harry Styles
from One Direction.
A song called Kiwi.
Yeah.
Baby, I can't. I was jacked up.
I love this song.
Can't get over the fact that this is one of his songs. And none of his...
There's a line there says, a hard candy dripping on me till my feet was wet.
Yeah. I honestly... And none of his other songs sound like that.
Oh, God,
no. Does he even play it in concert? Why would he?
I don't know, but it's so good.
It's a good song.
First time I heard it, it's rare for me to do this. I literally sat in the car until the song was over going, please say who sang that. Please say who sang that. Because it was on this weird late night radio show I was listening to. Some tiny station I'd never heard that I was picking up that night.
Yeah.
It was magical.
All right. Kiwi by Harry Styles came out in 2017.
And then I woke up in a bathtub full of ice. 2017, Kiwi,
number five,
Harry Styles.
Kiwi. All right. Rebecca Crockett playing for the text line. Again, every 100 text that we get to the text line is Rebecca's pick. So if we haven't gotten to yours, just keep texting them.
I am so excited about all the songs coming across the text line.
Mm-hmm.
There are some great ones, particularly this one.
Way too loud.
But thank you.
You know, I didn't know that Imagine Dragons was like considered the new Nickelback by some people, and I don't get that at all. That pisses me off because Nickelback was just, you know, this.
Yeah, there was no
to
talent.
Me, it was this culmination of every bad part of music from the 90s as one band. Imagine Dragons, there's the dubstep stuff in there.
Yeah, well,
I don't really mind that though.
I mean, I think
their songs are catchy. I don't know.
My son loves them. The kids love them. I was amazed when I took Roman to the concert in Dallas. I was just blown away by how many kids were there. I mean, there was not, other than my brother, one adult who didn't bring a kid with them. And he was like, I feel like a pedo. Like, I shouldn't be here without a kid, dude.
All right. That is number six on our list of best songs from 2010 until now. What else belongs on this list? You texted to us at 22980. My next pick, I will give you a little hint right now, is a song that involves boats. And Escape. That Pina Colada song came out in 2000.
No, I think that's a little before.
Anyway, it involves boats and Escape.
A little before our window.
It'll make sense coming up in just a few minutes here on 98.1 as we continue our list of the best songs from 2010 until now. Hopefully, for some of you, we're introducing you to some music that you didn't know existed. It was good. Because you've written off music since 1995, like a lot of other people. Anyway, it's the Jonathan Weir Show. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Wow, some old school Prince, huh?
Oh, yeah.
This is when his hair was all long.
Yeah, and flowy, yeah.
Yeah. I Want to Be Your Lover by Prince. 3 years ago Sunday.
Man, that lost, dude was good.
Was what was an absolute musical genius. All right, so we're doing our Friday list this week. The list is best song from 2010 until now. So it has to have come out in at least 2010. It can have come out in the future, and it can have come out before 2010. So far, we have Rolling in the Deep.
What? No future songs?
No future songs, sorry.
But
sorry. Look, I get it. Muckrakers and the Crippled Guy, amazing! Amazing stuff.
Possibly some of the greatest songs ever written.
2021, though.
Will be written.
Yeah.
There's no writing team like the Muckrakers.
No, there just isn't. The Muckraker Brothers?
No.
Amazing.
It's ridiculous.
Amazing. Good day. Anyway.
All right, fine.
So we have six. Rolling in the Deep by Adele, Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton, Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People, Sugar by Maroon 5, Kiwi by Harry Styles, and Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. This next one is mine, and I said it involves a boat, and it involves escape, because it's AWOL Nation, and their song Sail.
Oh, yeah.
Probably know the song, but honestly,
blame it on my ADD.
Yeah. Well, hold on. I tell you though, the first time I heard that song on the air, and just this part. Like, what is this, Enya?
Yeah.
And it's funny because the name of the song is Sail Away. And I was like, is Sail Away by Enya? But it's Sail.
That's funny.
By AWOL Nation, which is a song. I love all of their songs. But that was their first real big hit. And I think it to this day is probably still their biggest hit.
That's a great song. It's one of those ones that the first time you heard it, it was weird. And now you're like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that song, but I forget that there's more to it because I just see a cat, like, jumping from a couch or something every time they say sail.
What?
It's like in every video on the internet.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I haven't seen that.
A cat leaping from something.
All right.
Okay. I'm gonna pull a surprise move here.
All right, let's do that.
I'm going to do something unforeseen.
Okay.
I'm going to play a song that came out this year.
I'd like it, yeah. All this might have year. Been from like 2011.
Yeah, no, this year.
What will you do now that you're gone? Under somebody new, well, that didn't take long. And where you gonna go? Not that I care. And who can you trust now that I'm not there? Never known such unhappiness. Never thought it would be like this. What will I do now that you're gone?
The Rack on Tours.
Oh, this song is so damn good. And simple. And brilliant.
It's pretty much Jack White's entire catalog.
I know, I kind of hate him.
Yeah.
He's the one that could accidentally leave the microphone on when he farted and then, like, make a hit record out of it.
Right. I would have to say Jack White is probably the greatest rock and roll songwriter of our generation. Well, not our generation, I guess, but maybe, I don't know.
To come.
With 2000 to 2020.
I will say he is definitely a rock and roll guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all you can say. You know what I mean? Well, he's not like metal. He's not this or that. He's just like blues, plain rock. Old rock and roll. Yeah.
What's funny is, you know, Greta Van Fleet, which we both like, is the whole Led Zeppelin thing. Jack White is also Led Zeppelin, but he just pulls it off in a different way.
You're right.
But it's totally Zeppelin.
Yeah,
it's
you're
just
right.
In a very different way. All right. Rebecca Crockett playing for the text line. Every 100th text that we get is her pick. What is the next one, Rebecca?
I completely forgot this song existed. I think it's back from 2012.
Stops my bones from wandering.
All right.
Why, fun.
Fun, period.
Well, some nights I wish
what in my life? There is no fun, period. What is it? Some Nights?
Yeah, that one is Some Nights, and the other one is We're Young.
Or something, yeah.
Tonight We Are Young.
Oh, that was a good one, too.
That was a good one, too. There were two bands when I was in college radio in 2008 and 2009. Two bands, or musicians or artists, that I went, these guys are going to be the next huge. They're going to be huge. It was Fun. Their first album was called, I think, Ignite or something like that. And they had this song on there called, Fun. Some Girls. All the Pretty Girls. It was this. And I got to play because it doesn't. Hold on. There we go.
All the pretty girls on a Saturday night.
So I call.
As soon as I heard this, I was like, this is going to be the next big band. Like, these guys are going to be amazing. Like, just his voice. The way it just cuts through, like, it's like a Freddie Mercury feel to it. I was like, they're going to be huge. And the other one was Katy Perry, which we played on a college radio station because she had a song.
Kissed a Girl.
Called, no, she had a song called You're So Gay. Oh. That we thought really? Was really funny and like a joke song. And it is actually kind of a funny song. We could not play it now.
Is Katy Perry homophobic?
I don't know.
You're so gay. I kissed a girl.
Yeah. I humped a tree. But I was like the Katy Perry chick. But I thought she would be a big like indie star because the first song we played by her was like this kind of Fiona Apple jokey kind of song. That You're So Gay song.
Whatever happened to Fun?
I don't know. I mean, they were huge, though.
Yeah.
I really 2011 thought they were gonna to 2012. Last, when, like, every song kind of sounded the same.
Yeah.
And then the dude left the band, did his own solo, it sounded exactly the same. Yeah. And I went, no, they're done.
I think that guy's really good at writing one song. All right. So that goes on the list. Some Nights by Fun. Very good pick. Thank you, Texline. That was very good. Next one is mine. And I'm going to go with this. Young lady.
I've never seen a diamond.
Oh, good song.
I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal. It's a one in our blood.
Want me to make you feel old again?
Not really.
This Go song ahead. Is 6 years old.
Six?
No,
6 years old.
It just came out like a couple years ago.
I know, right?
I have to admit.
It's in kindergarten, this song.
I heard it just the other day for the first time in a long time, and I forgot how good the song is. That was one that the first time I heard it was just on the radio, and I told Parks, I was like, you got to hear this song, dude. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, it was funny because you came to me and you played. You're like, have you heard this song? Yeah. I was like, yeah, I just heard it earlier today. It's amazing. And what you have to remember, in 2013, there were no other songs that sounded like that.
Yeah, now there's
And then
a lot.
Immediately everyone started sounding like her and ruined alternative music.
There's that one that I don't really like. My wife likes it. It's that You Should See Me in a Crown.
I don't know.
I don't really like it.
Is it a Lorde song?
No, but it sounds like it wants like to be.
Yeah. All right. That is pick number 10, Rod Babcock. You have... I said that.
I'm sorry, what?
Babcock. Babcock there. With your fatigus and whatnot.
So,
riding the L train there.
Okay, Chicago, man. Okay, you ready?
Chicago, thank you very much.
2015.
Sometimes you gotta bleed to know that you're alive and have a soul. But it takes someone to come around to show you how.
Alright. Tear in my heart by 21 Pilots.
I really like this band, but when this song came out, I was blown away and I wanted more of their music to sound like this.
And it does.
Mix between Weezer and Beck.
Yes. A little Catfish in the Bottle, man, too. I thought they sounded like that. But all their other songs sound totally different than that
Which is good, because none of their songs really sound the same, but I that's my favorite.
That is a great pick. That's number 11 on our list of best songs since 2010. What else needs to go on this list? Text them into the text line at 22980, because the next pick is Rebecca's, and that comes from the text line. And you'll find out what that is in just 5 minutes here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
The Jonathan Weir Show. If you missed any of the show, you can catch us on any podcast app, iPhone, Android, whatever podcast app you use. To listen to other podcasts, we're there. Just search for Weir Show, W-I-E-R Show, or just Google Weir Show and our SoundCloud page pops up and you can listen to the whole show there. Rebecca, we're doing a Friday list of best songs from 2010 on. What is the next pick from the text line?
Moving, it's like I got this music in my mind saying it's gonna be all right.
Never heard.
Cause the players gonna play,
I love the video.
I will tell you, I actually do like that song.
That really surprises me.
It's the only song by her that I've ever heard that is like, okay, I think it's the horn, the or something that gets me. I don't know. But I like that song when it was out. It was inescapable, and I was like, I'm okay with it.
I like it okay. It's not my favorite of her songs.
What's your favorite of her songs?
Probably Blank Space.
Blank Space. I hate that song.
Love that song. Like, I hate that I like that video, too.
But she drops out of the melody to like talk to you personally. I don't like it.
You don't like Personal Connection?
No, I don't. Unless it's through the radio. Delivered to you by Nielsen Ranked number one, John the Weir Show.
The John the Weir Show.
We are running out of time, my friends. We need to finish up this list of the best songs from 2010 until now. We're only at 13. So we have, four more? Yeah, four more to do.
I got 12 on my list.
Yeah. And we will do that.
Okay.
In just 5 minutes, 7:04.
I guess we should step it up a little.
Yep. Here on 98.1.
Bam!
It is the Jonathan Weir Show. We're doing our Friday list where we get 16 of something, but I'm guaranteeing you we're going to go over that today. Where we get 16 of something
Did
and then we vote on which
here?
One is the best. And then what? What dude?
There was some guy in here pushing buttons and doing weird stuff.
Oh, messing up our break and everything earlier? Not playing the intro music, but
I think he left.
He started playing a Prince song.
I don't know what that
And then, like, while the host was in the middle of introducing the segment, he started, like, talking over him really loud.
No.
Yeah.
No, not that guy.
Yeah, that guy drives me nuts. Doing our Friday list, where we get 16 of something, then we vote on which one is the best. The list this week is best song from the last 10 years, so 2010 until now. We have 12. And every 100 text that we get from the text line, Rebecca, that is her pick. I'm going to go with this band for my next pick. Doop, doop, doop. Shakes with Hold On. goes on the list at number 14. Or, I'm sorry, number 13. Number 13 on the list. All right, Rob Babcock, you have pick number 14.
Okay. I thought a lot about it, and I'm going to go with this one.
Yeah!
What? How can you not think that sounds like Prince?
Oh, I mean,
not
yeah.
Prince, the Police.
This? No, I don't hear it at all. Sorry, what do you want me to tell you? I've got a good ear for that. I'm not hearing it. Like, okay.
Not like a specific Police song.
But the Prince, but Police. It was just a reggae punk band. So, yeah, it's a reggae punk kind of song.
Bang, I'm not saying bang, I don't like it. I'm not bang, saying bang. It's bad. I just, when I hear this, I hear
I get you. That bing, 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 bing. But there's tons of bands that did that. Just not the Police.
I hear shame.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause you make me feel like I've been locked out of heaven.
I think it sounds like the Police, but I love the song.
I think it's...
He has a different song I thought about doing, but I wanted to go with this one because
which was the other one you wanted to do?
I was thinking maybe Uptown Funk.
Well, why didn't you just play Uptown Funk?
Because I wanted to play that one.
That's not. But Uptown Funk isn't technically Bruno Mars. You know that, right?
I know. Yeah. I know. It's not. It's some other artist.
Anyway,
featuring Bruno Mars.
Rebecca, what is your next pick? Pick number 15.
Okay, I think this one's only a couple years old.
Doing just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again.
What's a new one for me?
This is Closer
by Chainsmokers and Halsey.
Heard a lot of talk about the Chainsmokers. I don't know the song.
I've heard it.
It's like the song of the summer for a while.
Yeah. Can't stop.
So baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your Rover.
All right.
I know you can't afford.
I like another song called Closer a lot more than that one, but we can't play that one on the air. And it wouldn't fit this anyway. Okay, so Rod didn't want to play this song, but you know what? I will.
Like I said, it's not technically
Bruno Mars. It's Mark Ronson who wrote the song. Does this sound like the Police too?
No, not even a little bit.
Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and a fireman. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. I'm a band about that money. Break it down now. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
Boom! Alright. Uptown Funk.
You can't deny that's a great song.
Featuring Bruno Mars, but written by Mark Ronson. Goes on the list. It's number 16, but let's go for another round at least.
Okay, because, yeah, I have one I want on here. Yeah. I think should definitely be on here.
Rod Babcock with number 17. Yeah, yep. Buddy! Wait. Is this?
2010.
Is it? Okay.
The other version's better.
Oh, yeah, I know. The original.
Forget you and forget her too. Said if I was richer, I'd still be witcher.
Nah, ain't that some shh?
And although that's pain in my chest, I still wish you the best. Forget you. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't afford a Ferrari.
but that don't mean I can't get you there. I guess he's an Xbox, and I'm more of an Atari.
All right.
When I first heard the song, I was blown away.
Oh, I know.
Official version.
The first time I saw the song, it was somebody showing me it on a YouTube video, and it was the lyrics, like, all kind of, playing around in each other, and I can't remember what that's called.
They did, like, an animated thing.
Lyrics, and I was the same. I was like, this is an amazing song.
This is awesome.
And it's never going to get on the air.
And it's been on the air ever since.
Anyway.
I was the best at this song in We Dance.
That was We Dance. Okay. Mm-hmm. The game for We.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun.
You might be surprised to know I never played that game.
No.
I'm very surprised.
Yeah.
You're always dancing in the studio.
Yeah, but never with my full body. I just move my ass. All right. Rebecca.
Okay, another song I completely forgot about until the text line brought it up.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me.
I like it.
I do like this song. It got overplayed, but it's a good song.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
Rob Schneider's daughter.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yes.
The Animals daughter.
Love it. Very good.
Man, there's some good stuff on the text line.
Yeah. This one got mentioned a lot, and we debated whether to play it or not. You know, I like the song. I like it. I don't care. I'm going to play it.
Everybody get up.
Of a song that just got played until you hated it, I think. Blurred Lines, T.I., Pharrell, and Robin Thicke. I had to put it on there, number 19, because it was the biggest song ever.
We loved it when it came out.
Oh, yeah. And I love the video.
What's the actual name of the song?
I didn't listen to the actual song for a while.
Blurred Lines.
I might have watched that video 5 times before I actually listened to the song.
Oh, my God. That introduced the world to Emily Ratajkowski. What an awful name.
All right.
Okay. Are we going to do another one or are we done?
We could be done if you have one that you really want to get on.
Well, there's two, and I was... Help me decide which song, okay?
Okay.
There's this one.
Yeah, this needs to go on.
But...
Trying to figure it out.
Royal Blood, I love the song. And then there's this one. Oh, come on, play.
I hear you. Is it another Royal Blood song?
No.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay, you know what? It's Royal Blood, I guess.
What was the other song? Just tell me. Maybe I can play it.
The Way You Used to Do.
Oh, I
had Queens of the Stone Age.
I already had it.
You already have it.
So that's it, right? Rebecca, you don't have another one?
I mean, I do, but...
We're good.
You want to hear what it is?
Kind of.
Our lover's got humor. She's the giggle at a funeral.
I do like this song.
I do.
Everybody's disapproval.
Damn it.
Now, this one sounds like Elton John's song.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Does this take me to church?
Yep.
She's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak. A fresh poison each week.
Is it Halsey? Was that the name of the guy?
Hozier.
Hozier, thank you.
My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone.
All right. Take Me to Church goes on the list. That's 22. Let's take a break so I can figure out how we can vote on this. When we get back in 5 minutes, we'll vote on which is the best song from 2010 until now. It's coming up at 7:23 here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
All right. As we start the vote on our list of the best songs from 2010 until now. We have 22 in total, so let's get to voting. First round, Sugar by Maroon 5 versus Ooh. Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People.
Sugar.
Pumped Up Kicks.
Pumped Up Kicks moves on. Kiwi by Harry Styles versus Radioactive by Imagine Dragons.
Kiwi.
Radioactive.
Kiwi. Sail by AWOL Nation versus Now That You're Gone by the Raconteurs.
Sail.
I'm going with Sail.
Okay, that's a good pick.
Shake It Out by Taylor Swift versus Closer by the Chainsmokers.
Isn't it Shake It Off?
Shake It Off. Right, sorry.
I'm going to go with Closer.
Really? I'm going with Shake It Off.
And Rod?
Rod just walked away from the mic, put food in his mouth, and...
Chainsmokers.
Really? All right. X's and O's versus Blurred Lines by, you know, all those guys that did that.
X's and O's.
I'm going to go Blurred Lines.
I really like X's and O's, but Blurred Lines is a better song.
Figure It Out by Royal Blood versus The Way You Used To by Queens of the Stone
Age.
Royal Blood moves on. Then we got, let's see, I need to move everything over here. Give me a second, I'm sorry. All right, then we got FU by CeeLo Green versus Take Me to Church by Hozier. I gotta go with FU.
Take Me to Church.
Rod what? Said FU. And he also said the song, F.U. Hold On by Alabama Shakes versus Uptown Funk.
Uptown Funk.
Rebecca?
Yeah, Uptown Funk.
Uptown Funk moves on. Locked Out of Heaven, also by Bruno Mars, versus Figure It Out.
Figure It Out.
By Royal Blood. I'm going to go Locked Out of Heaven. Sorry. I love Royal Blood, but damn, yeah, I love Locked Out of Heaven. Locked Out of Heaven moves on. Tearing My Heart by 21 Pilots versus Blurred Lines by Thicky and all them guys.
Tearing My Heart.
Rebecca?
Tearing My Heart.
Tearing My Heart moves on. Royals by Lordy versus Closer by the Chainsmokers. Gotta go with Royals.
Lord. Yeah.
Some Nights by Fun versus Sail by AWOL Nation.
Ooh.
Sail.
I'm gonna go with Some Nights.
I'm gonna go with Sail. Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton versus Kiwi by Harry Styles. Ooh. I'm going to go with Tennessee Whiskey.
Damn, those are like my two first picks, my two favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Styles.
What did you say, Rebecca?
Tennessee Whiskey.
I'm going to say Tennessee Whiskey as well. Rolling in the Deep versus Pumped Up Kicks. Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah, Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah.
Rolling in the Deep moves on. And then we got Rolling in the Deep for the next round versus FU by CeeLo Green.
CeeLo.
Rolling in the Deep.
I'm going to go with CeeLo.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah, upset.
It's just more fun.
All right. Well, fun. I don't give a crap
it's
about
more fun.
Fun
to
it's
sing.
A better song. All right. Tennessee Whiskey versus Sail by AWOL Nation.
Tennessee Whiskey.
You're saying Sail?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Tennessee Whiskey. Royals by Lord versus Tearing My Heart by 21 Pilots.
Tearing My Heart.
Royals.
Damn it. Royals moves on. Locked Out of Heaven versus Uptown Funk.
Uptown Funk.
Uptown Funk.
Uptown Funk moves on. Tennessee Whiskey versus F.U. by CeeLo Green.
Ooh, that's tough. I'm going to say CeeLo.
I'm going to say Tennessee Whiskey.
I'm going to say Tennessee Whiskey.
Tennessee Whiskey moves on. Then we got Royals by Lord versus... Wait, hold on.
We're at the final two, aren't we?
Yeah, hold on. I screwed something up. Hold on. Sorry.
Wait, your new formula that you created messed up?
It's all right.
I think you broke it.
I got it. All right.
I think we're at the final two.
No, we're not at the final two. I didn't say that. There we go. All right.
What it looks like.
Okay. We have... We have Royals by Lord versus Blurred Lines.
Royals.
Royals.
Royals moves on. Locked Out... No, not Locked Out of Heaven. Uptown Funk... versus Tennessee Whiskey.
Tennessee Whiskey.
Tennessee Whiskey.
Tennessee Whiskey moves on. FU by CeeLo Green versus Sale by AWOL Nation.
Sale.
FU.
FU. I'm going to go with FU as well. And then we have Tennessee Whiskey versus Royals by Lord.
Tennessee Whiskey versus Royals.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee Whiskey.
I'm going to go Royals.
I am also going to go with Royals, so the final comes down to Royals by Lord versus FU by CeeLo Green.
Wow.
Pretty good final.
See that coming.
Pretty good final. I'm going to go with FU.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. FU by CeeLo Green is the winner for the best song from 2010 until now. And people were already giving me crap on Twitter about not having any rap songs on here. And I don't know what to tell you other than we are the three whitest people you'll ever meet, on top of which I just don't like a lot of modern rap music.
There's also a lot of editing.
That's also a fact. I mean, if Drake is the top rapper right now, I don't get it. I like Kendrick Lamar, but I can't play a lot of his stuff on air.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Boom. So CeeLo Green.
Beastie Boys ain't put a record out in a long time.
And FU.
Actually, I thought about that Guinness Book of World's Record Eminem song.
Yeah. Oh, the
too much added.
Coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show, the prosecutors have now been accused of leaking the Robert Kraft video. You thought you were going to have to see it. You're probably going to have to see it. It will be inescapable. We'll talk about it in 5 minutes.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
I don't know why anybody would pay money for this. Prosecutors have been accused of leaking video allegedly depicting New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft obtaining prostitution services at a Jupiter, Florida spa. CNN reports attorneys for two women accused of running the spa say in court documents filed Thursday that someone is shopping the video to celebrity news outlets. Meaning... trying to get, so you know, maybe it's TMZ, maybe it's National Enquirer. Somebody needs to pay high dollars to make the rest of the world vomit. The Blast reported Thursday that it had been contacted by a party who claimed to have obtained portions of the actual video of Kraft from Orchids of Asia Day Spa. Quote, the Blast confirms it has viewed the footage and that it does appear to show Kraft in the massage parlor with another person. The 77-year-old Kraft has pleaded not guilty to two counts of solicitation of prostitution. His attorneys have been fighting release of the video.
Explain to me again why people want to see a 77-year-old man have sex.
To put Ipecac out of business. It was the best example we got from the text line when we talked about it. A judge issued a temporary injunction blocking the... If you remember, the prosecution was like, we're going to release it to make an example of him and anybody else who goes to prostitutes, which I think is stupid. And the judge was like, no, you can't do that. We're gonna have to have a hearing about this on the 29th. And now, apparently, somebody who has a copy of the video is trying to get it out for a little bit of cash money, which I think just doing that alone is worse than the prostitution in the first place. Am I alone in that? Because this would be violating a court order. That is also illegal, you jackass. On top of which, Robert Kraft, though it pains me to defend a patriot, and especially the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, in my opinion, didn't do anything wrong except solicit prostitution, which you can argue, yes, is illegal. And ethically, he's not a good husband. I will grant you that. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think that that's worse than speeding, where you're actually putting lives in danger. I don't think that it's worse than not paying your taxes, where you're depriving the government of their hard-earned money that they need to steal from you. Okay, that's not a good example. But I think it's on that level. I think it's on the level of maybe not paying your taxes or not paying your full taxes, which I'm sure Robert Kraft doesn't do anyway. Here's what I was thinking about when we were talking about this and I was reading the article. He's 77 years old. Rod, I don't know about you, but as a man, when I'm 77, I hope I'm done with all of it. I mean, down there, you know? Like, I would just like some more time in my day for other things where I'm not obsessed and I can just focus on the world without having...
That never happens. You're a man.
I was just hoping that eventually the drive goes away,
Jonathan,
I can just exist in the world as a non-perverted human being.
Did Robin Williams teach you nothing? Did you not listen to the man when he said God gave men a brain and a penis, but only enough blood to run one at a time?
Right. Well, I hope by the time I'm 77, the blood's just in the brain.
Never going to happen.
No?
No, not unless you have everything removed and a little bag put in.
I mean, I know that's what Viagra's for, but I just was hoping that by 77, I could be like, I don't need that anymore. Apparently it doesn't go away.
I guess not.
Yeah. It does for women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strangely, right?
Oh, did you hear...
right after they say I do.
You know the Ku Klux Klan, Imperial Wizard who was killed...
Are those the guys in Star Wars that wear red?
No. These are the Klan men.
Oh, the Klansmen. Okay, yeah,
the KKK. Okay.
Yeah, I got you. Sorry, my mistake. I thought we were talking two different things.
Frank Ancona was the Imperial Wizard who was murdered a couple of years ago. I remember talking about it on air, and we got a call. I was like, is anybody sad about this? And we got a call from somebody who was like, I'm really sad about this. This really pisses me off. Hold on. I got to get the hole away from my mouth. Hold on. There we go. They had to adjust their hood.
Right.
In order to... Anyway.
And what was the guy's name?
His name was Frank Ancona Jr.
You know there's a dealership.
Yes, there is a dealership, and I'm sure... No.
That freaked me out when you said that. I was like, what are you talking about?
No relationship whatsoever.
I had no idea.
So the wife of this guy has admitted to killing her husband. Her name is Melissa Ancona. She was sentenced to life behind bars Friday after reaching a plea deal with prosecution. She initially reported her husband as missing, then later claimed her son, Paul Jinkerson Jr., shot Ancona as he slept. She later recanted saying she shot her husband and her son only helped clean up the crime scene. Frank Ancona Jr.'s body was discovered by a family fishing in southeast Missouri. Just, what did you catch? I caught an imperial wizard about this big. He was bloated from, well.
It was a lot of water weight.
According to family, Mr. Ancona had told his wife he wanted a divorce, allegedly calling her a terrible wife. That's why she killed him. Not because he was an evil
monster. Yeah, all the other evil things he did.
Spreading hatred around the world and honestly thriving off of insane racial division. No, no, no. She had to kill him because he wanted a divorce. He didn't want to have anything to do with her anymore. Are you surprised that they're still a KKK?
I am surprised.
Yeah, oh, yeah, very much so.
I mean, I know I sound naive on this, but like when that dirtbag went around Overland Park, I'm not even going to say his name, but when he went around Overland Park in 2014 and he killed, you know, three people, you know, he's a white supremacist. I was like, what decade? What, did I get in a time machine? You shouldn't exist. And then when like the Charlottesville stuff happened and those guys were marching around saying Jews will not replace us. And, you know, they weren't in full hood regalia, but there were definitely a bunch of white supremacists in that crowd. I was like, where are these people coming from?
And how are they finding each other?
Through the internet. That's what it is. The internet has probably been a godsend for these horrible, hateful organizations. Because it used to be you were just a racist in one part of the country, and you just felt, well, I can't express my beliefs because apparently dropping the N-word casually at work gets me fired, so I can't do that anymore. Now, they go on to, you know, Stormfront or any other number of god-awful 4chan, white supremacist.
Well, don't tell
websites.
People what they are. You once gave, told me of a theory that it has to be true. It's the most true thing I've ever heard about the internet outside of it is at the same time the greatest and worst thing to ever happen to people. And it is this. All those people out there that all thought they were lone nut jobs that had at least three people in their lives tell them,
you're insane.
Dude, no.
Yeah.
You are the only one that feels that way. All those people who kept quiet because no one else agreed now can easily on agreewithme.com find people that agree with them and they go, ha ha! Everyone here's an idiot!
Yeah.
Look! I'm right. 17 people across the planet liked this. I must be right.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are some deep dives you can do on just internet communities, and we had our friend Rich on the show. Remember, he brought us a list of I can't remember where it was.
Who was
from.
The first person to tell me about swatting and all kinds of awful?
Yeah. But he was on. He had a list of sexual orientations that people claim to be, and there's like forums for all of these. But one of them was a boat. Like, yeah. I don't care, you're not hurting anybody, but if you honestly think that having sex with a boat is going to make you happy, again, you're not hurting anybody, but I think you need to see a psychiatrist.
It does seem not good to identify as a boat. First of all, your fingers are going to get all pruny.
Just cannot be good.
It's awful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's a really good story. A man who's impersonating an officer was busted after stopping a real cop. Of course, this has been done before, but Florida resident Matthew Joseph Harris put a little extra effort in his plan to rob unsuspecting motorists by posing as a cop. In addition to equipping his Chevy Trailblazer with a rooftop police light bar, the 26-year-old installed flashing red and blue lights behind the vehicle's grill. There was only one problem. The person he pulled over turned out to be a sheriff's detective.
Oh, man.
After being stopped earlier this week, the unidentified detective quickly realized Harris wasn't the real McCoy, according to the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. But instead of calling him out, he dialed 911. Harris had taken off by the time deputies arrived, but they had no problem catching up to him. A search of his vehicle revealed he even had a gun stashed under his seat, a realistic-looking airsoft gun, deputies say. Harris was arrested and charged with impersonating a police officer. If he's pulling people over to rob them, that's better than all of the other things that I could think that you could be doing in that situation.
Yeah, what was his plan there?
Right. If you're just pulling people over, you're like, give me your wallet. And then they go, oh, okay, my whole wallet. And then he just goes, ha ha, and runs off. Okay, that's a little messed up. Or maybe he pulls him over and he says, you know, this is a $200 ticket, but if you give me whatever you have in your wallet, I think we can just call it a day. Maybe that's what he does.
Oh, but, yeah, for sure. He's getting bribed.
But there have been way too many stories about women getting pulled over by fake cops who then get sexually assaulted.
Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I once saw a guy, he's walking around Walmart, and he had a shirt on that just said police in black, big black letters across it.
Yeah, I've seen that. Or it's a black shirt with big white letters.
Yeah, and it said police on the back. And I was like, how is that even legal? I mean, I don't. He wasn't going around going, I'm a police officer. But it wasn't like saying I support the police. It was just saying police on the front and back. Did and I guess it's like the First Amendment thing until he says to people,
I'm a tour or something.
No, it wasn't the band. It just said police on it. It looked like, you know, like a shirt that a police officer would be wearing maybe under their uniform or
but
whatever.
But do police wear t-shirts that say police on
yes.
them?
Yeah.
Besides
I've
fun.
I've seen them. Yeah, I've seen policemen wearing
and not
shirts
in the movies.
That say police.
I don't know, maybe in the movies.
I don't know. But yeah, I have.
How is that legal?
Yeah.
How is that okay?
I don't know.
It just seems like it'd be way too easy to be like, that's right, I'm a police officer. I want a discount on these donuts. Also, you're all under arrest until I say otherwise. You have to stand on one leg or I'm going to get out the handcuffs.
Breaking fashion laws, am I right?
All right.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show, I don't know, it's Friday. I don't know.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
By the way, I just put up on the Jonathan Weir Show Facebook page Rebecca's punishment for the week. It's a picture of her. And just like Rod last week, I would like you to go to the Jonathan Weir Show Facebook page whenever you can and say horrible, mean things about Rebecca.
What are they just like possibly going to say?
See, this is what I think is funny, because you don't think it's possible for anybody to find a flaw with you.
No, I just don't think anybody's going to be mean to me.
I don't think the men will be mean to you. I think that the women probably will.
That makes me want to be mean to you.
Aww.
Stop.
Here's what I guarantee is going to happen. Half the comments are going to be about Adam Levine.
Uh-huh.
And the other half are going to be, oh, she's too pretty to roast. I can't do that. Rebecca, you are the glue that holds the job that we're showing together.
That would
You're
be
such
nice.
A sweet person. I didn't like the show till you came along because it just sounded like two douchebags yelling at each other for
I
3 hours.
I love the 11. Night. Why would they say something mean?
Because it's their job.
I would
right
never
now.
Say anything mean about them.
You do all the time.
No, I
oh,
don't.
My God. Rod, does anybody hate the audience more than Rebecca?
Oh, my gosh. No way.
Just going
I
off.
Cannot think of a single person.
No, no. These yokels well, listen
I,
to this radio
somebody hates
show.
You more, but I've never heard anybody complain more about the list.
Yeah, that's
oh, my
right.
gosh.
How are we number one? When all of our
no,
listeners,
listen
everyone
to them.
That I meet,
don't listen
are just
to those
a
two.
Bunch of
I love you.
Side tooth
I
having
love you.
One nostril low bro brows.
That's just what I say to you.
One nostril.
I'm saying like it's not like they have one nostril.
Like a cyclops nose.
Open, but I'm saying like a cyclops nose. Cyclops nose with the furrowed brow because they're always confused.
You with the whistling booger. Out of here.
Anyway, it's on the Jonathan Weir Show Facebook page. You can go there now and roast Rebecca and then we'll read
or not.
The
this is a kind of
best high, ones that we can.
Highbrow, mature entertainment you've come to appreciate and expect here
from
at the Jonathan Weir Show.
Number one Nielsen rated show. That's right.
Hey, you want to know something cool?
Yes.
I paid off my car today.
Did you?
Yeah.
Which one?
The Jeep.
The Jeep?
Uh-huh.
How long have you been paying on it?
3 years.
That's it?
Well, I think I probably Only had a few months left, but took my tax return and paid it off.
Good for you. You did something responsible with your tax return. Uh-huh. Except for, I mean, it took you forever to get your tax return. Why did?
Well, I waited a long time to do my taxes.
Yeah. See, that's not responsible. But you did the responsible thing, and that's very good. Nothing feels better than paying off that car, right?
Yeah, and I bought a new pair of shoes today.
Okay, see, that you're not helping.
Well, it's Easter on Sunday.
What kind of shoes did you buy?
Some shoes to go with my Easter dress.
You bought Easter shoes.
Some cute shoes that would go with my
Easter. Are the laces like
Easter...
fake grass?
No, they're like heels, like slip-ons. Okay. There's no laces.
Rebecca, what's coming up on the show?
Oh, there have been rumors that Captain Marvel and Thor will team up or have a romantic relationship in the next Avengers movie. But do the two actors actually hate each other in real life? We'll talk about it at 8:04 here on 98.1.
One more hour of the Jonathan Weir Show here on KMZ. Coming up, we're going to have Max on movies. Then we're going to go over some of the best moments of the week. And then we're going to end the show with the roast of Rebecca Crockett, which you can get in on right now just by going to the Jonathan Weir Show Facebook page and posting whatever mean comment you possibly can.
Of
course,
there's a lot of them.
I hope the person was listening to the show who said this, but somebody literally said, oh, I can't roast her. She's too sweet and pretty, and she's the glue that holds the show together. I'm assuming they were listening.
It's also true.
It is unfortunately true. But it's like Elmer's glue, so it's...
it's
not a strong glue. It's not Gorilla glue.
It's like really crappy. Yeah, you gotta let it set overnight.
Yeah, don't start thinking you're super glue or crazy glue. You're Elmer's. And not even like good Elmer's. You're like that off-brand Elmer's that the kids eat. Anyway, it's time to take a ride on Rebecca Crockett's
stick in it.
Celebrity Rocket.
So
I need another stir
awesome.
Stick. Oh my gosh.
Looks pretty good.
Blast off!
Hey, Rebecca, what's up?
Rod, I have some bad news for you.
What happened? Why?
Jason Momoa has altered his appearance.
What?
Do you think you can still love him if he doesn't have a beard?
Oh, maybe not.
I've seen him without the beard. He actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, really?
He looks better without the beard.
How bad can he look?
Yeah, I guess so. I thought you were saying how much worse could he look?
No.
I thought you said he wasn't good looking.
No, I think he's attractive. It's not the first person I would go to if I had choice of anybody in the world.
He's like the anti-Adam Levine, by the way.
Yeah, they're complete opposites. Yeah. Well, he shaved his face. It's the first time since 2012, but it's for a good cause. The Earth.
Okay. Why did he shave it for the Earth?
You know, the Earth can just...
kiss Rod's butt.
Rod, have you seen the picture of him shaved?
I'm looking at it
still
now.
Have feelings?
He's actually pretty dreamy.
Yeah. I think he looks better without it. I don't think the beard looked good. It was not patchy, but a little stringy.
Somewhere between Antonio Banderas and George Clooney.
Okay, it's not that good looking. Come on.
Oh, he's pretty good looking.
He's pretty damn dreamy.
So he posted a 4-minute video where he spoke about the importance of recycling and switching from plastic bottles to aluminum
cans. I like the dirty
biker
look, though.
Full disclosure, he also hyped a new line of canned water. Ooh, that sounds fun. Canned water.
Canned water. Like LaCroix?
No, I think it's just like water, but it's in a can.
Okay.
If it could be like a clear can, that would be cool.
Hey, I've got an idea.
Put it in a can.
It's put in water, but in a can.
Have you seen it in a box? You know,
like box
the milk
wine?
Cartons? Well, no, it's like... water in a box,
nope.
Like a milk carton.
I have not.
Have you had it with a fox?
Did you have it with some locks?
Oh, with some rocks.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he shaved his beard for the Earth. What? I don't understand. How would he do it for the Earth?
Well, okay, he was shaving while he was talking about all of these things that we need to do as far as recycling. And the fact that he was shaving, people are going to go watch that video.
Okay, that's cool.
and hear what he has to say.
Yeah, that makes sense. I thought it was like he shaved his beard and then sprinkled it around the earth, and then a bunch of Jason Momoas will sprout out of the ground.
Ooh,
is that possible?
That'd be nice.
No, actually, he did it because the earth said that it scratched her when he kissed her face.
Yeah, her face.
Yeah, you know, the earth.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, ready to talk about more attractive people?
Sure.
Brie Larson and Chris Hemsworth.
They are very attractive people.
They are. That is Captain Marvel and Thor, if you didn't know, and you've not been watching movies lately.
Been under a rock.
Right. So they've been doing a lot of press, and they've had to do a lot of press together, but they've done a lot of bickering while they're doing their press stuff together.
That means they're getting it on.
Well, really.
Yeah.
When I listen to what they're saying, he's just giving her a hard time, and then she's
I bet
just,
he is.
Okay.
A hard time?
Mm-hmm.
He's just giving her a difficult time, and then she's snapping back at him.
So people are saying they're fighting or something?
Yeah, they're saying they're fighting. No, they're flirting. They're not fighting.
Yeah. Do you have audio of it?
I do not have audio here, of this. I have it.
Here's what everybody's talking about. They're saying he was making fun of her because she says she does her own stunts. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're like Tom Cruise. And she's like, no. Here it is.
I'm me.
See, I do all my stunts.
I did my stunts because I thought that that's what everyone did.
Tom Cruise over here?
No, I want to be the first me, not the next Tom Cruise. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're flirting.
They're flirting. That was flirting. That's not, it's if not flirting, that's just, you know, friendly banter.
That was flirty, flirty.
Well, we just assume that they're flirting because they're two good looking people. He is married.
Yeah. It's probably just friendly banter. Yeah.
Ain't nobody that married.
Would you flirt with him?
Yeah. I don't think I would be able to flirt with him. I think I would just giggle girlishly.
Suddenly you'd be Chris Farley. remember Thor Ragnar when you were hanging?
And you're upside down.
That was awesome.
remember Avengers? That was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah. You know how you were in Ghostbusters? You were the only good part of that movie. All right, what else we got?
Elmo.
Okay.
He solves Game of Thrones.
He solved the Game of Thrones. Like it's a riddle?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I have the audio of this.
Yeah,
you're talking about this this video or
HBO put out a promo
with Elmo and Peter Dinklage and June, whatever her name is, Hetty, that plays Cersei. Yeah, here it is.
I only want what's best for Westeros.
And I only want for you to not get what you want.
See, this is why you don't have any friends. Who are you?
Oh, Elmo is Elmo of Sesame Street. Elmo thinks that you two need to respect each other. When Elmo has a problem with his friends like Abby or Cookie Monster, Elmo doesn't get upset. Elmo listens and learns from what they have to say.
If we stop fighting and work together, we can be stronger. I'm willing to learn and listen if you are.
Will Miss Cersei try to listen and understand what Mr. Tyrion is saying?
I can try.
Yes! Trying is a great way to start.
A toast to our new red friend.
Oh, yummy! Elmo loves toast!
All right.
Okay, that's not realistic. Nobody stepped out from behind him and slit his throat.
I was going to say, yeah, there's a lot of, there's a little red monster in there, but there should have been a little more red coming out of the monster because he's stepping into the King's Council, just throwing his weight around as Sir Elmo.
Elmo's here to take over for Littlefinger.
where's Elmo's brothel?
I haven't seen Game of Thrones, and I'm really confused right now.
Mm.
And,
well, those
you should be.
Those two people are brother and sister, and they're fighting over the kingdom, more or less, and then Elmo's trying to heal the division between them.
He's trying to be the peacemaker.
I was watching this video earlier, though, and Finn like ran over. He was like, "Elmo Street, Elmo, Elmo," and he was watching this, and I was like, "Yeah, you like this? Maybe we'll watch Game of Thrones together."
No, no,
and we'll watch it.
Hey, you're gonna love it.
Yeah, you'll love it. You won't. I don't think he'll. I think he'd just be bored with it.
Very colorful, just a fountain of red spraying from the throats of the.
Man.
When Roman was first born, it was just me and him at the house. Mm-hmm. Tabitha came home one day, and I was standing outside smoking a cigarette. She's like, "Where's our son?" I was like, "He's in the house. Obviously, he's watching Pulp Fiction." She's like, "What?" I was like, "He loves it. It's like the third time he cries when I shut it off."
You got anything else, Rebecca?
Yeah, Oprah and her BFF Gail King.
Okay.
Okay. Apparently, Gail's been giving her business to Stedman, Oprah's boyfriend.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Because this whole thing's
having
really
sex
weird.
With Stedman?
Oh, well, no. No, they're not. And I'm not sure what kind of business she's giving him or if that was just a very poorly worded sentence.
Okay.
But I guess she's been giving him some work, which still doesn't sound any better. Anyway,
they did a job.
They did a video, Oprah and Gail, where they talked about what would happen if Gail slept with Stedman.
Yeah.
But we early on in our relationship, I was doing these shows with my sister, slept with my sister's husband, my sister slept with my boyfriend and all that. And Gail said,
"If you ever catch me and Stedman, you know, boinking around, fooling around, or you catch us in bed, she shouldn't even be mad at me because she should say, 'I've lost my mind, take me to the hospital.'"
Yeah. That
you
I would
even
know.
Be upset.
She goes, "Call
the
someone.
Doctor. Yes.
Put me in the jacket.
Don't be mad.
And
yes.
Have me carried off because you will know that I had lost my mind." That's
lost
just
my mind.
That you just, you can't
you should
cross
be mad at him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we are.
Okay.
Wait, I'm so confused.
So she was saying, if you catch me in bed with your boyfriend, you know that I'm crazy because I guess I've tossed away a friendship, and also your boyfriend looks like Eric Holder, so why would I want to sleep with him? I don't know. I don't know what they're saying there other than our friendship is so strong that if I slept with your boyfriend, then obviously it'd have to be crazy.
It would be because he raped me?
No, she's saying she was crazy. So she'd have to be hauled off to the loony bin. What I want to know is, what would Oprah's reaction be if she found out that she slept with Stedman?
The Jonathan Weir Show.
That would be weird.
That would be super weird. Coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show, Max is going to review a movie that sounds really good and has a lot of big stars in it. And I don't remember the name of the movie, but
Is it
about
called
it,
Nothing But Trouble?
It seemed good. It seemed good. And he also has some DVD recommendations for you guys for tonight. So stick around. We'll be back in just 5 minutes here on 98.1.
Morning apartment. Good morning doorway. Morning wall. Morning ceiling. Good morning floor.
I knew there was something fishy. We never got the cause of death. She's been murdered. And you think I did it?
My friend, you suffer from the misplaced optimism of the doomed.
People say that all the time. It's not that unique of a thing to say.
Secondly, I don't even believe you have a plan.
Everything that's good that's happened to me in my life came because of that. I get to touch people's lives with what I do.
Max on Movies.
What are you doing?
Find me when you wake up.
Well, I'm not the guy that wasted his entire life waiting for it to start.
And here we go.
It is the Jonathan Weir Show, and every single week at this time, we talk to film critic extraordinaire Max Foisy. He's got his own show live on the Big 550 KTRS in St. Louis. You can hear it tomorrow night from 9 to 11 p.m. Of course, if you're not in St. Louis, you can listen to it by going to KTRS.com or just do this. Google Max on Movie SoundCloud, and the KTRS SoundCloud page should come up, and you can listen to all of his podcasts just by going there. Max, who's your guest this week?
Well, good Friday to you, John Weir. My guest this week is a guy named Ryan Drummond. He is he's a comedian, he is an actor, he's a voiceover artist. He's actually coming to town to the Westport Playhouse, which is a great venue. There's just wrapping up a production of Avenue Q, and he's coming as part of the one-man show that is Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. If you remember that from like 20 years ago, it was a giant pop culture phenomenon, and now they pretty much lease it out to different artists who want to do it, or, you know, around the country. So he's coming back to St. Louis, And when they gave me the pitch, I thought, well, you know, I like promoting local stuff, and I like the Westport Plaza, but I wasn't really sold on doing the interview until I read up on this guy. And it turns out one of his gigs was the first official voice for Sonic the Hedgehog. And if you remember the Sonic games, you know, they came out in the early 90s. This was before video games really incorporated a lot of voice work because they just couldn't do it. And so, you know, it was a big deal for the youngsters out there when EA Sports had the announcer go, EA Sports, it's in the game. We all lost our minds because it was somebody talking. And, of course, on TV, Jaleel White, of all people, Steve Urkel, he voiced Sonic for a while. But the first person to ever give voice to the Blue Hedgehog was my guest, Ryan Drummond. And he told a very similar story to the great Charles Martinet. If you don't know that name, he is, well, I'll just say this. It's a me, Mario. And he said many, many years ago, he walked into a room for Nintendo, and they had pictures of Mario everywhere, and they said, give us Italian plumber. And so Charles Martinet, being a voiceover actor, started saying, hey, Cazone, what's going on? Like, you know, and they said, no, that's horrible. He's like, what are you talking about? It's Italian plumber.
What are you talking about?
So he tried something a bit more goofy and a bit more you know, nasally and child friendly, and that's where It's a Me Mario came from. And so Ryan Drummond said they did the same thing with him. Sega brought him into a room and had these pictures of Sonic everywhere and said, what voice comes out of your head? And so, of course, Sonic, if you remember, he had this sort of, you know, it was a precursor to the extreme Mountain Dew kind of, you know, personality. And so that's what he did. He did this kind of like aggro, hey, I'm Sonic kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is very different than Mario. But anyway, I love voice actors. I love that whole world. And so I wanted to have him on to talk about that. And so we do a lot of that. And you can hear that right now, actually, if you go to the KTRS stage, the interview's up right now.
All right. You know, it's funny. He did the Mario voice, not Ryan Drummond, but the guy who did the Mario voice. But isn't that what they basically did in that god-awful Mario Brothers movie with Bob Hoskins? That was pretty much what he was doing.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, that movie, oh my, I'm pretty sure there is a making of book all about that movie and the husband and wife team who directed it and had no idea what the video game was all about. And they were trying to do this almost Terry Gilliam Brazil type thing with it. And they hired Dennis Hopper. And it was just an incredible misuse of that property. And they really didn't understand what they were doing, I think, and what the audience wanted to get out of that movie. And I know that Hoskins and Leguizamo, who is Luigi, tells the story about how they were so depressed on set that they would drink during takes. They would have a flash, and they would honestly drink whiskey during filming because they knew it was going to be so bad.
Yeah, all right. Let's talk about what's out in theaters tonight, the Curse of La Llorona. You had to correct me before we even went on air because I did not take Spanish. I took German, and my German brain wants to, you know, pronounce every single letter because that's the German's efficient. That's the way it works. But it's La Llorona? Llorona?
Well, I believe if memory serves, when you have two L's in Spanish, it creates a Y. So
yes.
La Llorona.
La Llorona.
Which is the folk tale of the weeping woman. And I did some Googling before I saw this movie, because Google is your friend, because I was thinking that this was some sort of marketing scam that the producers came up with, like, based on the legendary folk tale. But it actually is a folk tale that goes back hundreds of years, a Spanish folk tale that I was not familiar with about the weeping woman. Standard folk tale stuff. It's a woman who drowned her kids many years ago, and so if you don't behave, little children, her ghost will come back and take you away from us. I mean, it's just standard folktale stuff. So the movie, some people are outraged that the movie takes a lot of liberties with this folktale. I don't care that it does. I don't think that that folktales are necessarily sacred things. I know that might come across insensitive, but I think the idea for folk tales are to be passed down among generations and to be changed and altered based on who's telling that story. I think that's how things like Grimm's fairy tales or the entire Disney output have continue to exist because people put new spins on them. So, you know, the last thing I was looking for was some sort of folktale accurate La Llorona. I just wanted a scary movie, so I didn't mind that they were taking taking liberties with that Weeping Woman folktale. The movie stars Linda Cardellini from Freaks and Geeks. She was also Velma in the live-action Scooby-Doo movies. She was Blake Lively's ex-lesbian lover in The Simple Favor last year, and she was also in the movie that solved racism, the movie that won Best Picture, Green Book.
Yeah, the movie also, that healed America.
Exactly, and won Best Picture. Now, I will say The Curse of La Llorona will not be even nominated for Best Picture next year, so it's sort of a step down for her, but she's very, very good in this. She's long been a capable actress. She was on ER for many years as well, and so she's great. She's one of the anchors of the film, one of the reasons why you kind of care about what's going on. Much like the Conjuring movies, the Annabelle movies, the Nun, all of those things, this is a family-based horror film. I think producers are realizing that you have to really care about these characters in order for the scares to work. And this is a good thing for Hollywood to realize, because after the slasher renaissance of the early 90s, you know, the teens were fodder, basically, and you wanted to watch the bad guys kill as many of them as possible. Now, I think horror, the pendulum has gone the other way, where you actually fear for these characters and you don't want them to die, which I prefer, because as much fun as it is to root on a Jason, I'd rather be scared and running away from him as an audience member. The movie is rated R, and the reason why it's rated R, it's not for any kind of fun rated R stuff, like a lot of gore or nudity. It's rated R because straight up in the opening scene, young children die. Mm. This is a movie that you, John Weir, will never be able to watch.
Okay.
I know that kind of...
That's a trigger for me, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm talking 10-year-olds held underwater and drowned. There you go. Welcome to the movie. So I didn't realize this, but I guess when you have children in peril to that extent, you get an automatic R. So because it has multiple child deaths on screen, it has an automatic R rating. Other than that, though, I don't think it really deserves the R rating. This could have completely been PG-13. It's pretty much without scares. Obviously, it's some disturbing content because it's children in peril. But this is very much it could be a TV movie of the week horror film. Definitely a step down from some of the scarier things we've had in the last couple of years.
All right. So is it a step down because of the production values, or just the story's not that great, or what?
Well, you know, it's one of those screenplays that flirts with a really interesting story. Linda's character is a social worker. She has young kids of her own, and when she's going to people's houses to investigate claims of child abuse, then the kids have bruises on their arms and things like that. Of course, the cops think that it's the parents. The parents are saying, there's this ghost. It's an actual ghost. And the kids are like, it's not my mom. It's a ghost. That's really interesting. And they could have gone full tilt into that. And that would have maybe been a more compelling movie. But instead, they just have the ghost pop out and say, hi, everybody. I'm here. I'm a ghost. And it takes any of that tension away. And they don't really lean into the scares as much as they should. So honestly, this is a pretty forgettable film. It's got some decent performances, but I can't recommend it if you love horror films. It's not compelling enough, the script isn't smart enough, and it's not scary enough. So I'm going to have to say to skip this one.
All right. Let's talk about what's out on DVD and streaming tonight. Glass, that has just come out. And you know what? It's funny. I was really excited when this movie came out, and then I just did not. I just didn't go to see it. I didn't go to see it. And I want to watch it on DVD and streaming. But for some reason, when it came out, I've done this actually with every M. Night Shyamalan movie of the last couple of years, even though he has improved the quality of his output, whether it was The Visit or Split or now Glass, I guess. I just don't trust him anymore. I'm afraid to love again,
you know,
and I keep it at an arm's length, so I think I don't take a chance on going to the theaters with him anymore.
Well, the twist with M. Night Shyamalan is now audiences like him again.
Yeah. I mean, the twist you really did not see coming for once.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is a film that is not without its issues, and I want to start with that, because whenever you really recommend the film and you wholeheartedly say that people should watch it, which I am saying this because Glass is very good, people will watch it and go, yeah, but what about this? What about that? And so, yes, I mean, just like any film that we could possibly talk about outside of maybe Casablanca and Psycho, you're going to have some things that you can nitpick. There are some very strange choices that he makes with the script here that I would love to nitpick and kind of work around and ask why he would do those things. And there's some silly eye roll moments as well, but those are small. Overall, this is a triumphant film. It marks the complete return of Shyamalan as far as a blockbuster movie director. It made a ton of money when it came out. And the things that I liked about Glass that some other people didn't, you know, the ending, and I don't want to give away anything about the ending, but it's a very purposeful, severe ending that he must have had plotted out all the way back to Unbreakable. And I love that he stuck with that, even though it is not a crowd-pleasing ending at all, especially in the universe that we live in now with the Marvel Cinematic Universe and everything always being set up for a sequel and always saying to the audience, come back next time. And Glass doesn't necessarily do that, and I know a lot of audience members felt cheated, but I think this almost was a commentary on that kind of filmmaking to say, no, I'm going to tell a complete story here. And so I like that very much. For those of us who enjoyed Split but were a little put off by some of the darker subject matter and by McAvoy pretty much chewing all the scenery, the greatest thing about Glass is it's much more tone specific to Unbreakable than it is Split. It really does feel like a sequel to his greatest movie from 20 years ago, and Unbreakable is absolutely his best film. Glass is not as good as Unbreakable, but it's much, much better than Split. So if you've watched the first two movies, you're really going to enjoy this. Sam Jackson is great, and Bruce Willis actually looks like he cares about something again, which I haven't seen on screen in probably 15 years, so good for him.
It's ever since Demi stomped the heart out of the man and left him for that guy from That 70s Show, all of a sudden Bruce just can't emote properly on screen. And also you can see the light literally dimming in his eyes with every Die Hard sequel after the third one. All right, Max on Movies. You can check out his show tomorrow night. His guest is going to be Ryan Drummond, who's the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog, talking about all sorts of fascinating voice character work in video games and in TV and stuff like that. You can check out, actually, the podcast and his interview with him right now just by going to the KTRS SoundCloud page. Just Google KTRS SoundCloud and it'll show up right there. You can follow Max on Twitter at Max on Movies on Twitter. Max, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, John. You should go watch Glass.
I will do that tonight with my boy. I'll subject him to it.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
All right. When we come back on the Jonathan Weir Show, we got just a couple more things to take care of. First of all, we need to go over some of the best moments of the week. And then we need to roast Rebecca Crockett. If you want to contribute to the roast of Rebecca Crockett, go to the Jonathan Weir Show Facebook page right now and post a roast right underneath her picture there. If you can roast. She thinks it's impossible to roast her. Let's see if you can prove her wrong. We'll be back in 5 minutes at 8:41 here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
It is the Jonathan Weir Show. That is it. And I only have a couple segments left, so it's time to go over the best moments of the week. That's right.
Moments of the week.
These aren't based on anything but me listening to the show and going, that was pretty funny. I would like to say there was some kind of algorithm or metric that decided this. I could do that. And I did do that before, but it was too much work. This is literally just me going, that was funny. The first one comes from the show on Monday, where we were trying to figure out who burnt down Notre Dame Cathedral. And we came up with two culprits, Jacques and Jerry.
But then there's also Jacques, who works with Jerry, who's like, did you see what Jerry did? See what that idiot did?
No, no. I told Jacques to go back in there and turn off the soldering iron.
Bull!
But Jacques was like, it's time for my cigarette break. I'm not going back in there. He's a jerk. I'm telling you, it's Jacques' fault.
It was an electrical fire. It wasn't my cigarette. You know what it was. You and your damn space heater, because no matter how warm it gets, you're always cold. So you have to have the space heater on.
No, no, I told Jacques, before you leave, go back in there and turn off that soldering iron. And he was like, oh, I'm not doing it.
I wasn't even here for that one.
Man, I love the accent. So good. Honestly, I love the fact that I was not doing an accent, and Rod had a very good French accent.
It was strong.
Rod always says he's terrible with accents. His French accent is very good.
I thought he was talking about me for a second with the space heater.
Yeah, no kidding.
That was probably what we were referencing, sure. The next moment, and by the way, there's five of these. The next moment came from, I believe it was Wednesday's show. We were looking for a bowler for Rod, which, Rod, we have found your bowler, right?
Oh, yeah.
This guy bowls like 230.
230 is an average.
Average.
Carries more than one ball, depending on the lane conditions.
Yeah. All right. So we were looking for a bowler for Rod, and before we'd found this amazing bowling prodigy, we were talking about, well, why not a woman? A woman named Madge.
Oh, yeah. It would be cool if it was a chick, though.
It would be awesome. But it ain't a chick.
Especially if it was like a really old lady.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Her name is Madge.
Oh, my God.
Madge.
She used to be a truck driver. She's got a scar. Oh, I want it to be Madge.
Let me tell you about the funny story behind this scar. And then I'll show you my C-sections.
You know what? Madge has lessons. Madge has wisdom that you only gain from living the life that you chose.
And having 15 C-sections.
Making bad choices and accepting the consequences of those choices.
Because I just wanted to keep it. Anyway, all right. I don't know what's going on here, but I had to stop myself before I got fired. Okay.
I love Madge.
Oh, Madge should be a real person now.
Let's play a game.
Her stomach is all scarred up from having babies.
Let's play a game.
Bowler named Madge. She used to drive a truck for a living.
But had more than enough time to get pregnant.
Who wants to play a game? Anybody?
I want to talk more about Madge.
Let's laugh. That's the best.
I need Mack Truck Madge to be a real woman.
I could hear Rod laughing.
And when I say real woman.
Through the...
Yeah, without his mic on, I could hear him laughing at the same time he was actually laughing in the recording.
I'm sorry. Mack Truck Madge is an awesome character. That is a wisdom-spewing woman. Look, you should respect her.
When you lose three toes, but you still got 12.
The next moment was we were talking about babysitters. And for some reason, every time we said the word babysitter, porno music started playing.
Hey, I don't know why this is.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Why are you doing this? She's a very good person.
Right.
Yeah. Stop doing it!
What? I didn't do anything. I think that was Rebecca.
It was not
Rebecca.
Oh
my gosh.
Rebecca, did you ever babysit?
Not me. I babysat a lot.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Hired babysitters.
I'm so sorry.
I'm serious. Stop playing it or you're going to get fired. Not by me, obviously. I don't know. I can't do that.
We never had cameras. Mm-hmm. However, I used to lie to my kids all the time and tell them there was cameras in the house recording everything they did because then they just behaved. And I think that would be the same instance with babysitters.
Is it every time somebody says the word babysitter? What are you doing?
What? I'm sorry.
Stop doing it. Just because we're talking about babysitters.
You gotta admit that sounds good.
Just because we're talking about young ladies. Okay. I give up.
All right. The next one It's the second of five. Or I guess the fourth of five is this one. We were talking about strip clubs, and I was talking about how I'd never been to a strip club, and Rob was saying, it's weird because you have a drink named after you at a strip club.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I've never even been to a strip club, and I'm not making that up. It's true.
I don't know why they have a drink there called the Jonathan Weed.
Into my own booth. It's weird. I don't
it's
like it.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Especially since the drink is just an empty glass with a lemon in it.
You gotta admit, if a bar had a Jonathan Weir drink, that's what it would be. No booze, no water, just a glass with a lemon in it.
God, I said that.
All right, and finally, for the number one moment of the week. Let's do this. The moment that made me laugh the hardest of anything this week. It can't be anything else but the time we broke Rebecca Crockett and she made a filthy joke.
Yes!
It's always
Animal Bean looks like he worked at a Sherwin-Williams.
Yeah, it's always something dumb like that for band names usually. You know what I mean? Where they came up with the name. Or literally thumbing through a thesaurus or something.
I need another stir stick.
Did Rebecca just make a dirty joke?
Wait, not on purpose.
Wait a minute.
No, that wasn't on purpose.
Wow.
What just happened?
What just happened on the show? Rebecca made a dirty joke.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
There you go.
I need another stir stick.
You know, and the more I think about it, the dirtier it is. Like, at first, it's like, oh, I just like a... Oh! Disgusting.
I still don't get it.
Tisk.
That's all I have to say.
Stick.
Coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show, we'll end the week by roasting Rebecca Crockett. If you have any roasts you want to get in, just go to the Jonathan Weir Show Facebook page right now and type them in underneath her lovely picture. She thinks it's impossible to roast her. We'll see. It's coming up at 8:55 here on 98.1. All right, it's time to end the show and end the week with a roast of Rebecca Crockett.
Okay, what happened to your computer sounds?
I don't know, it got really low. Oh, there it is. All right. So I asked you guys to post a roast of her on Facebook, and we'll just go through those right now. Rebecca's all-time favorite movie is Throw Mama from the Train, says Vince.
It's actually true.
Alan!
That's a good joke, man.
Yeah, it was good.
Hold on, I'm trying to get to the thing and it won't...
Angel said, okay, I got one. Her voice is too soothing. Okay, Angel.
Well, Angel keeps going. Go ahead and read the rest of those.
Oh, jeez.
No, Angel
is this
just...
This is the Brooklyn BMF Angel?
Yeah, his were all nice.
I love that, man.
All right, Rebecca.
She looks stirred, not shaken. I need another stir stick.
Tom said, on the third day, he rose from the dead and commanded two Beckys, thou shalt commemorate this miracle by buying cute shoes.
And I did. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Joe said, stupid microphone. Joe said, I wanted to ask, or I wondered if you know O.J. Simpson. Isn't there a secret club for those who have gotten away with murder?
Neil says, I promise I won't use all your cocaine. I think he has the show members confused.
Matthew says, you work with John and Rod. Boom roasted.
But that's not... You know, honestly, and this I knew this would happen.
She seems so sweet, too.
Yeah, like, it's one-third actual roast, and the other ones are like, she's so pretty, she's so nice.
Well, no, then there's this one.
Mm-hmm.
Rod, you've really let yourself go.
Okay. Kent says she goes through so many stir sticks.
Somebody I need says, another stir stick.
Somebody says, can't roast Becky Rocket. She might shiv me.
That's good. Okay, this one is legitimately mean, and I don't know I want to read it, but I read it. I told Rebecca about it earlier, and she's like, it's okay.
It's fine.
Toby said, I had to look at some other pictures, but your smile is beautiful and a great place to keep an extra 50 cents.
That's where I usually keep it. Right between my two front teeth.
Oh, that's awesome.
But that was one of those things you pointed out that you have a gap in your teeth. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I hear in Africa it's a sign of beauty, so I'm just keeping
there.
Someone
you go.
Says, oh, that's Angel. Says, your jokes are too funny. Elvis is cute.
Yeah, Angel has more. You can keep reading
no,
those.
I'm not
we only have time for a couple more. Phil says, the longer I stare at the picture, the longer your neck gets.
You know, my neck looks really long in this picture.
Yeah, it does.
And I don't even know how
your neck
happened.
Isn't that long.
Cody says, Rebecca claims to have a black soul, but if she was a cup of coffee, she'd be a low-fat soy vanilla latte with shots of cream, whipped topping, sprinkled with cinnamon.
What? Take this, bitch.